My friend, Father Nick Volker, is a pastor one of the pastors at Newton, and so he was sharing with me some of his experience over the mass shootings in Heston, because a number of his parishioners work over there, and you know, obviously it terribly affected their community because a number of those people that work there live in Newton itself, and he was over at the hospital assisting at the time when the wounded were being brought in, and he's explaining, you know, how shooken up people were, and just kind of that traumatic experience. You know, as you kind of reflect upon these, vicious, ominous acts that befall us in our human experience, and it seems like very often, right, that we see this happening around us. How do we deal with that? How do we see that? What would Jesus have done? And seen or said in these circumstances of, you know, surrounding the events that happened in Heston. I'm kind of wondering because Jesus is sharing with the Jews about, you know, that situation that happened at the Tower of Siloam when, you know, all these people were killed, right? And these people whose Pilate killed and mingled their blood with the blood of the sacrifices. He said, do you think that these people were more guilty than you were? In other words, he was saying, do you think that they died because they had done something bad, right? So what the Jews would have, at that time, what they would have had interpreted like this, maybe an event like this in Heston, is that somebody did something bad. They did something bad, and so they got their punishment. That was a main motif for suffering in the Old Testament. So like, if you did not follow the Lord's way, you did not choose the way of life, death would come upon you. Right? So that's not our situation in our day and age because nobody's thinking that any of those victims did anything worse than any of us do, right? And they suffered this shooting. So how would Jesus approach it then? Well, he would probably approach it in a similar way in the sense of it's not about anything that was, you know, any sin that anybody caused necessarily, or that they're no one's more guilty than another person in this scenario. But there's something that we can learn from this. He's saying, you know, look how quickly their lives were taken from them. That could happen to us just as quick. Those people went to work, you know, kissed their spouses, left their kids, went to work that day expecting nothing different, right? And all of a sudden, in moments, their life is completely changed, and some of their lives are ended. And so what Jesus would say is like, God didn't do this so that we could learn a lesson. Nope, that's not the why that happened with the Tower of Siloam. That's not what happened when Pilate, you know, murdered all of those individuals who were offering sacrifices. But we can see what happens and how fragile life is and how quickly it can be taken from us. And that's where we can learn a lesson in a certain sense of like, we need to be attentive. Because we're not permanent beings here on this earth, and we can be challenged, just like Jesus was challenged, that we need to repent, or serious consequences are going to befall us in the sense of, death and judgment, heaven and hell, right? And so Jesus is saying, unless we repent, the same thing will befall us, in the sense of the same thing is that our life will be taken in a flash, and we won't be ready, maybe. And so Jesus uses that, what's in the New Testament, that Greek word metanoia. Remember, we've talked about that before. The word meta, the prefix meta in this instance means change, okay? And noia comes from the Greek word nous, which means mind. So a change of mind. And it's more than just a change of thinking. It's a whole change in one's value system, the way one thinks, what one's priorities are. And he said, unless we repent, have this kind of conversion, we become susceptible to being the victim of time, and when our time is up, not being ready to face our maker, to face our judge. When people go to confession, it's like, well, I don't feel like I've really done anything that bad. You know, it seems like I've pretty much fulfilled the commandments, and I can't think of really too much that I've done wrong. We can examine ourselves as far as our behavior towards others and the way that we've extended our, you know, charity and love towards another person, how much of service we've been, how we've reached out to someone in need, right? How patient we've been with with our spouse or with our siblings, our children, and vice versa. Okay, that's one level of behavior. But when the metanoia that Jesus is talking about, the repentance that Jesus is talking about, goes deeper than just the behavior. It goes to the heart. And so what we're meaning here is, like, what motivates us to do the right thing? What motivates us to do the right thing? Here, St. Catherine of Siena could be of some help. She says that we go through through steps in order to reach perfection in love. And she says on the lowest step is that we do the right thing because out of fear of punishment. I have many examples growing up of that happening. I can just see myself, you know, my dad, I would push the limit, and then it would be, that's it. There was no such thing as timeout, all right? No such thing as grounding back then. We didn't even know what those words meant. And so I promise I'll never do it again, right? Okay. And I won't do it again because I don't want to be punished. That would be my motivation, right? I'll clean my room, all right, because I don't want some bad consequence to happen. Then I remember my mom trying something different because punishment wouldn't work for us boys. So she had this chip system that if we did good actions, you know, cleaned our room, did our prayers, we would get chips. And if we have enough chips, then we can cash them in and get prizes, right? So we were motivated by self-interest, that we were doing the good, not to avoid, you know, getting punished, but now it's because we were going to be rewarded. We'd have some benefit, right? Okay, so that's a movement in the right direction. That's progress. But that's not perfect love. Perfect love, and there were just a few moments of those, when I actually did the right thing and was generous to my mother or father, out of just virtue, out of love for them, because it was for their good, and not because I wanted anything in return. That's what God is inviting us to, that and challenging us to, that kind of conversion, that we would fulfill our life of faith and our love of neighbor, not out of fear of punishment, not out of self-interest, but out of true love of and willing of the other, the willing the good of the other person. And so it's good just to lay it out and to know what God is calling us to. If we commit ourselves to this challenge of moving from doing the good out of fear of punishment to doing the good because of self-interest and we're getting something out of it, to ultimately doing the good because we're wanting to just to will the good of the other, we're going to find out quick how weak we are and how impure our love is. Because as St. Catherine of Siena says, what happens is God allows us to experience situations with other people where we're not, like, appreciated. And she says, God allows this so that we see ourselves distressed. And if we see ourselves distressed because we're not being, you know, appreciated, taken care of, rewarded, she says, then where there's smoke, there's fire. We see that our love is imperfect. We're not loving out of a disinterested love. We're loving because there's some impurity in it, in the sense of we're wanting something for ourselves, right? And here's the thing. You know, as we transition to the second part of the Mass, that once we commit ourselves to this highest type of love, to love like God loves, that's what it is. It's loving like God loves. We will quickly realize that with 24/7 efforts, we're never gonna achieve it. We'll get up, we'll fall right back down. We'll get up, we'll fall right back down. And then we recognize how weak we are, and that, she says, how really we're kind of nothing, and that we have to put all of our faith and trust in Christ. And she says it's the blood of Christ, the power of the blood of Christ, that builds us up to be able to love like God. And so we have a powerful gospel for us to reflect upon today, and especially in the circumstances that we're kind of experiencing in our local area with the tragedy, the mass shootings in Heston. As we pray for those victims, and you know, and obviously think about our own mortality in these situations. What's the Lord inviting us to do? On one level, He's definitely inviting us to wake up, that our lives are fragile, that nothing is guaranteed, and that we are called to a repentance, a change of mind that goes from doing the good, not out of punishment, not out of self-interest, but at truly willing the good of our neighbor and loving God because of no return.